Hallelujah. So love, the first slide. Last week I did. I will do a brief recap and then go into what we can cover today. If you cover all that, it's good. But it's something that we're supposed to be talking all the time. Love. What comes to your mind? Like I asked last week, what comes to your mind when you hear these four little words that I said that can change the rest of your life in a very crucial way that will affect or continue to affect your life and hereafter? These four words. It has been misunderstood in different ways because of our humanity. So when you talk about love, what comes to mind? Let's be honest. Last week I said, if I tell you that you cannot live without love, or tell you love is everything, will you agree with me? That love is everything. That you cannot live without love. Now, because the way you are brought up, the way you understand, and the way you are even expressing it or receiving it, and all the disappointments that even push some people never to be in love again, then coming to tell you that you cannot do without love. Let's bow our head one more time and ask God to teach us what is love. Thank God for His love. Ask Him, teach me to receive, to know you and know your love. Teach me to receive your love. Teach me to live in your love. Teach me to walk in your love. And teach me to let this love flow through me to others. Help me to unlearn things, the misgivings about your love, and help me to learn the truth of what love is. Because when we understand what it is, it will change us. It will change our lives. It will change our perception. It will change how we see things. It will change how we look at our enemies. It will change even how we see ourselves. Pray that prayer. Hear the prayers of your children. And Holy Spirit, pray for us. Come, because when you come, you will convict us of what is wrong, what is right, and what is the justice of God. In Jesus' name we pray, let the house of God say amen. Love is so important in the Word of God, next slide, that in Mark, this is what it says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And Jesus Christ said, this is the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, love. That's how important it is. And then it says, the other part of it, first thing in position, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love what? Your neighbor. And then 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13 says, the greatest. Faith is good. Hope is good. But the greatest of this is what? Love. That is why I say these four letter words can change the rest of your life in a crucial way that will affect or continue to affect your life here on earth or hereafter. The whole purpose that I'm attempting is quite a daunting exercise here. Is to redefine what love is from what you grew up in with, or what you are living in, or what you're searching for. So to redefine love in order to awaken us to the true meaning and impact in our lives as God intended it to be. This is what you grew up in the society with. You grew up with parents. Even those who hate you love their children. The terrorists love their children and wives. So to redefine it is not an easy task to do. That is why last week I did a demonstration, and I will repeat it today. But last week I did ask for two volunteers, and I told them to go and get some gift to the book table. Did you get those gifts? Where are they? Did you get that gift? Where are the two people that volunteered last? All right. And where is Gerald? Is Gerald in the house? Okay. Now, I will fulfill my promise. Here are gifts for you. All right. I'll try to show the gift so that, because I'm asking two more volunteers today. Yeah. Should I show the gift? Yeah. All right. There is a notebook right there. There is a notebook there. And there is a bow here. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, all right. And there is a tissue here. Right. And there is the Word of God. Maybe you don't have the small ones, you have the big ones. It can be in your purse. And stress, what? Yeah, it helps you to release stress. Amen? So, promise, here you are. God bless you. Who will be taking for Gerald? Who is a good friend of Gerald? All right, come around and get it for Gerald. All right? Amen. Have patience, okay? Gerald have many friends around. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to have friends around. Hallelujah. And I have two more. I need two volunteers. Yeah, you see, I can see hands now. All right, come over, Micah. Malachi. I said Malachi. All right, the two. Sorry. All right, but I need a bloomer. Is that not fair? Mike, is that not fair? Okay, who is the bloomer that is coming? Any bloomer? No. I don't know. Imu. Whatever the number is there. They are already here, all right? Yeah, come here. It's not just taking my gift away. You work for it. All right, come here. Let them see you there. Go down there, all right? Now, this demonstration holds the whole series, believe you me. And this is what redefines what love is. Because it's so important we misunderstand what love is. So the only way I can demonstrate that is a synonym to that is through this demonstration. All right? So last week I asked you, hold your breath, all right, and see to what extent you can hold it. And when you can't hold it any longer, just wave your hand. All right? You get that? And last week we saw a bloomer. We don't know what is happening with our lungs. All right? Hope we have a normal bloomer today. Amen. That's a unique gift. Amen. Hallelujah. So you watch them. Look at them. All right? We trust you. Especially now that we're in the house of God, you'll be truthful. All right, so after the count of 1, 2, 3, you hold your breath and do not breathe to the Pick where you cannot hold. You wave your hand and breathe in and breathe out. Okay? All right? Are we ready? 1, 2, 3, go. You got distracted? No. All right. Now, just stay with me. When you got to that peak, it's the same question, but it's very important. This is where the whole secret is that can help you understand the love we're talking about. So at that peak, gasping for air, what was the first thing that was coming to your mind? What were you trying to do? What was it? Have you thought of anything than breathing? Even if you think your body, your whole system is telling you to what? Did you think of money? You didn't think of money. Did you think of your jewelry? No. Did you think I don't have money, I'm poor? Did you think of your enemy? Did you think of your sisters or brothers at that moment? No. Maybe you thought of your future. Did you think about that? At that moment? Your future, what will be like? A queen with a... You didn't think about that. What about you? At that moment. That's quite unique, where we could be different. But the generality... Did you think of speaking in tongues? What about miracles? Now, one question that I will ask. Did you think of God? Let's be honest. Did you think of God? Should that make sense to you? All that you wanted at that peak is what? Thank you. Can you give them a hand? Let's be honest. Even God, you did not think of God. You did not think of Jesus. You did not think of anything. All that you want by your system is what? Breathe. Many years ago, an American Arab journalist was murdered in an embassy in Turkey, somewhere. And when he was being strangulated, it was on the news all over. Khashoggi, something like that. And all that he was telling them as they strangled him, I want to breathe. I want to breathe. Nothing else, not even the journalism that got him into trouble. And believe you me, naturally, nothing will come to your mind. You will not think of anything, not even prayers, not your enemies, not your parents, not your children, not your future. All that you want is what? I had the last moments of my sister as they were rushing her to the hospital. She started gasping for air. She wanted to breathe. Imagine air is a marketable item and it's limited. That means trouble. Only the rich will be buying everything. What will happen to you? Do you realize the amount of air that you will ever take in this world has been decided and determined, the volume of it? And who determines that? Talk to yourself. He determines. That's why he said, teach me to number our days aright. The volume of air, I don't know whether you are making use of that opportunity. It's determined, but you can waste it. The interesting thing, nobody can breathe for you. And once it is time, you can't breathe more than what you are given. Time off. When your loved one passes away, all that we are crying for, you want them to take a breath of air to live again. That's all we're crying for. I wish when she was gasping for air, rushing her, she could breathe. All that we want to give them, not gold, not silver, nothing. Is what? To give them the air for them to breathe. The word of God said in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the what? The breath of life. The Ruach of God, right? But just keep it simple. The breath. And then the man became a living thing. He was lying supine on the floor, lifeless, until that breath came in and he became a living soul. What is that breath of life? It represents not just the physical life, but also a spiritual connection to God, emphasizing the divine origin of human existence. First John chapter 5 verse 12, whoever has the Son has what? Life. That is defining something here. Life. And what is important for life? Breathing. That makes Jesus the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have what? Life. And you look at John 3:16, eternal life, now defining it better. Acts chapter 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring. Air that we are gasping for is life. And this life is who? Jesus Christ. Are we together? Jesus is the air you breathe. It's your breath. Air, generally from that demonstration, is life. If somebody snuffs it out of you, no life. The air is life. And whoever it is that gives this air is giving you life. And he gives you life. Whoever gives you life is because he loves you. If somebody strangles you, want to block your nostrils, then you cannot breathe. Will you say that person loves you? And what is love? 1 John 4, 7, 8, God is what? Love. The world was suffocating. Then came John 3:16. God brought lives because we were suffocating to death. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The physical reality, people are still breathing, but they have no life. It is you that have Jesus Christ that you are breathing eternal life. So life, synonymous with love. Whoever has the Son has what? Life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not what? Have life. And whoever gives you the breath of life loves you. And you know what is love? God is love. Amen. Jesus is the air you breathe. Hallelujah. What about life versus death? Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. But you can say, they are breathing, they are moving around. But you know better, the spiritual reality. They have no eternal life. And here is a warning. Genesis chapter 2, 17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will what? Certainly, surely die. Literally, did they die? Physically, they were still breathing and could even run and hide. But they were dead. The Spirit of God is not in them. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day, that is another version, but in the day, in the moment, at the time, I'm talking about when you sin, you are suffocating the life of Jesus Christ out of your life. The moment you live in disobedience, you live in sin, you are spiritually suffocating the life of Christ out of you. Let's have that understanding. The day, instantly, they were dead. Thank God for the mercies of God upon your life that still gives you the opportunity, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, the redemptive work, that we have still opportunity. After even sinning, God still loves us. I think today I will not be talking about the common misgivings about God's love. Because it's like, truly, there are parallel truths in life. His love endures forever. His mercies endures forever. Even into the pit of hell, God still loves the sinner in the hellfire. Oh, the door is closed. Yeah, you can tell me the father still loved the prodigal son. Do you remember when he told that guy? He looked at him, what shall I do to enter the kingdom of God? He said, I've done everything. Jesus what? Looked at him and loved him. But despite that love, if he did not sell everything in the spiritual sense, he will not enter the kingdom of God. Conditional. When I tell you God's love is conditional, do not throw stones on me. It is in the word of God. John 3:16. He still loves them. And then he said, depart from me. Conditional. For whosoever shall believe, conditional. Yes, forever, forever, enduring mercies of God, but reality is conditional if you receive the love. While we were yet sinners, Christ what? God demonstrated his love. No condition. He didn't do anything for him to love you. But that does not translate that you have received it. You have to what? Receive it. So always bring the reality that you are spiritually suffocating the life of Jesus out of you at any point of disobedience or sinning. For today, love continues. We look at it. What does it mean that God is love? What are the evidences of God's love in your life? Especially emphasizing on number two, what are the evidences of God's love in you? What are the evidences of God in your, of God's love in your life? We'll look at that briefly. What does it mean that God is love? Next slide. What does it mean? What is God, or who is God? Let me take some time, a little bit, on this because it's my favorite. I love talking about this. Who is God? Who is God? When you look at a mango, you say, I love this mango. Many of you that love mango, my wife loves mango, but after this matter of diabetes, she threw away mango. But we're trying to encourage her to still take. She loves mango. I don't know whether I was buying mango for you when I started dating you. I don't know. I cannot remember. Hey, this is what? Home away from home. You're good to talk. Yeah, you say, I don't care. I just need mango. But what about the mango tree? When the mango finishes, you will know what produces the mango, right? God, it's good to know who God is before you know what is his love. When you know God, you'll understand what love is. That word God and what it stands for is the most important word for all created, visible or invisible beings, atheists or theists. It is the fundamental, listen, central turning point, the dogma for everything here and hereafter. Knowing the Lord God Almighty is the fundamental substance of our faith and hope in God. We talked about knowing God. It goes deeper than just, yeah, I know him. Is he like that breath of air in your life? Is that what God is? Some of you, one time I kind of tickled you with a picture of Clinton and myself. President Clinton. And I can tell you, I know Clinton because the picture is there and it's real, it's not fake. And you say, wow. They were asking Jessica, your dad knows Clinton? And I can say, of course I know, I can show you that picture. Yeah, the securities were all around and I had a picture with him. I spoke to him. But how much do I know? What do I know about Clinton? To be honest, nothing. Except for what I read. Except with the scandal of the Epstein files. That is all over the net. That is not knowing. How many of you know Bill Gates? Right. Elon Musk, okay. Mark Zuckerberg, right. You know them? What do you know? Who lives in their apps, right? That's all. But you know everything, no? That's not what we're talking about. Next slide. Let me quickly run through this. Who is God? Who is God? How do you define God? Number two, the best true definition of God is by who? God himself. Any attempt to define God outside the realm of what God has revealed in his word and creation will end in error of who God is and potentially a sin if we define him outside his own definition. Do you agree with that? That's true. Again, emphasizing. That's why it says, know the Lord God Almighty. That word know, very important, is the substance of our faith. That's how we know what love is. Evidence is that there is just one God. Quickly, let's go through that. There is just one and no any other God. God is the very evidence. He is God. There is nothing. It's what he says. It's what who he is. Is the very evidence. He is God and no any other God. God is and the only I am that I am, our Yahweh. Only God holds all the omniscient attributes, all powerful, all knowing, ever present, perfectly good and loving God. God is self-existent, has no beginning and no end. Let it blow your mind. You cannot fathom, and it's rightly so, you cannot comprehend all about God. All right? God is absolutely reality and the most valuable reality. God is entirely independent, while all else is entirely dependent on God. God is sufficient, lacking nothing. God has no rival. All else are nothing compared to God. God is the absolute standard and definition of all things he has created. Amen. God does whatever he pleases according to the counsel of his will. God is perfect. God is constant, never becoming, never developing, no improving. You love him, you don't love him. You obey him, you don't obey him. He remains what? God forever. He's holy, no evil in him, but good, and good at all times. If you know this, when he takes away your loved ones, you will know that he's still good God. Now let's talk about knowing God. If you know God, you know what love is. Look at this. God created all things and he's sovereign over all that was, is, and is to come. God is the only being that is not becoming. Him alone is and possessing all the omniscient attributes. The only God who pardons sins, forgive our transgression, our Redeemer by his only one Son, Jesus Christ. God loves you with an everlasting love. No one can love you as God loves you. God's plans towards you are always good. He is your shield, your provider, your defender. Before anything happens to you, God has to allow it for a good reason. God is to you beyond what you could ever think or imagine. The power of God accompanies those who know him so that they can do great exploits. Those who know God will continue to grow in his grace and knowledge. Those who genuinely and truthfully know God, even if they die, they will be raised to live eternally with God. How comes that you cannot be in love with this deity? How possible? Who else can do this for you? There's something wrong when you turn your attention from somebody that has this limited characteristic to our knowing and to focus on something else. Maybe myth. Or maybe culture or tradition, and hold it as your foundation. How possible is that? As I've said, we only know what he reveals to us. Let's move on. It says what? Disclaimers, shockers, facts, truth about God and knowing God. Both the pure state of man and the fallen nature of man cannot. A Christian unbeliever, believers cannot comprehend, understand God, nor his sovereignty in its fullness. No matter what we do, in limited way we know. In part we prophesy, in part we talk. But the completion will soon come when he appears in glory. Amen. That is quite true. How can the infinite, or rather the finite, know the fullness of the infinite? It doesn't make sense. If the finite fully know and understand the infinite, then the word infinite or infinity no longer exists. I put my name on that. That's just the truth. The natural and the supernatural can argue about that. Let me tell you something about the God again. Number three. God is the most complex being. The most complex being. Just like your whole system, your body system is complex. Is the most complex being, yet with simplicity. Enough for his created being, especially the godly, to know, understand, and relate with him as he designs it. Amen. Simple. He's in everything. But everything is not God. Hallelujah. That's a different teaching, misguided teaching. Who does great things, unsearchable things, wonders without number? Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? The number of his years is unsearchable. His understanding inscrutable. It is right that we cannot know him fully. The little that we know wanted to overthrow him. That's how we are. The last disclaimer here. Your salvation does not depend on completely comprehending who is God. And God is not obliged to tell you everything he does, but requires total allegiance to him in truth and in love. Amen? You got to know who this God is before you can know what is his love towards you. What does it mean that God is love? Look at those facts. That's what it means, God is love. Those reality will build your foundation of having faith and trust in him. Love, next slide. Love is the core of God's character and nature, with multifaceted concepts that man can only partially comprehend and still able to fulfill, and still partially and yet able to fulfill the purposes of loving God for his pleasure and glory. Hallelujah. Before God created his creation, he is love, complete. He is love before you came into this world, before he created you. He is God. Forever and ever, his love. He does not change. And after creation, he still remains love. And always be love. God does not change. Next slide. Did they put the next slide? The characteristics of God's love is for us that we see in 1 Corinthians 13. All right? 4:7. Love is what? You know that better. The description of this love does not adequately describe God, believe you me. Because there are controversies here. It says love is patient. Love is kind. Yeah, God is patient. God is kind. All right? It does not envy. I'm a jealous God. Hallelujah. It does not boast. God says there is no one like me. In our language, it's like boasting. But he owns that right. It's true. He doesn't wait for anybody to tell him that he is. He cannot not be God. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. He says, only worship the Lord God Almighty. Doesn't sound like human language is seeking for himself. God is love. God's love, or God is love, simply means God is life, the air you breathe. That is all that I'm trying to bring this concept of this demonstration. The way you feel you cannot breathe is how you ought to be needing God in your life. At that peak where they could not breathe, all they wanted was what? Breath. That breath is what? God. All that you need in your life is what? God. And he gives you that breath of life because he loves you, and God is love. Let's run as we round up. What are the evidences of God's love in your life? Rounding up. What is or are the evidences of God's love in your life? Can you answer that question honestly? If you remember that demonstration, you will have an answer to that. That I'm breathing. I'm an evidence of God. I'm breathing eternal life in me. What does it mean? What is the evidences? Transcending beyond feelings, emotions, or resentments, whatever it is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot transcend this, humanly speaking. These feelings of emotions, sentiments, is something that is difficult to separate. It's always mixed by this. Feelings, emotions, languages of love that we have. Boy. Nothing but you want what? Breathe. It's just God that you want in your life. And that can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit in order to relate and fellowship wholeheartedly with God and with other fellow human beings. God is the air you breathe. Without which, can you fill in the blank? Without which? Are we having a German church now? Yeah, because we heard there is a church there. Once the time is here, it's a pastor, come on, round it up. Don't worry, you will not miss your lunch, okay? Right. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. Because it's so mixed, tight. The feelings and emotions is tied to this, our mentality of what love is. But when you come to that reality, that it is not about emotions, it's not about feelings, it's not about anything. All that you want is the breath, that breathing. Job says, though he slays me, though he kills me, yet I will hope in him. No matter what you are going through, I still need to what? Breathe. In fact, believe you me, even sometimes you are in pain, even sometimes somebody who hates you, you don't think of your enemy. All that you want is what? That's the meaning. I want to breathe him. I believe in God. I trust in him. That is personal. Look at these two scriptures there. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How are you demonstrating your love to those who hate you? Those who despise you? Those who misunderstand you? Unconditional. Are you demonstrating as he demonstrated to you? Here it is, the evidence that God's love is in your life. He said, well, love your enemies. That has changed the whole thing. Before it's what? Love those who love you, hate those who hate you. But when he came, he changed the whole thing. Revolutionized things. He says what? Love your enemies. You know, you can try. One time he did it, forgive. I'm a child of God. Second time, yeah. Third time, no. Cannot be done carnally by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, these are the evidences when you begin to see the Jesus. Do you know, have you been in that situation whereby something that you hated before, you begin to love it and it becomes beautiful? That's evidence you love God and God loves you. You begin to love them. genuinely from your heart. It's not that, you know, I forgive you because I love you. No. It's genuinely in your heart, without other sentiments or emotion. I forgive you because I know how I was forgiven while I was a sinner. He demonstrated that love to me. He was patient for me. Therefore, in my own time, he was patient. I don't know his timing with you. I'll be patient with you. You know that kind of a rag that you so much love, but you begin to see the beauty of that rag, you don't want to throw it away. Love your enemies and pray for them. What is prayer? It's not just staying in your bedroom. Father, change his heart. Father, touch his heart to change. It's a lie. Get out of that bedroom. Book an appointment with that person. Spend money on that person. Take him out for dinner. Buy him a cup of coffee. Love your enemies. Pray for them. That's how to pray. If you do all those things, it doesn't work, then go back and cry at his feet. Father, I've done all I could. Say, keep on doing. I never gave up on you. Why should you give up on them? Amen? Keep coming to church. We will talk to you about God, but we'll also talk to God about you. Don't give up on anyone. That's evidence that God's love is in you. It's working in you. Forgiving one another. Praying. This is difficult. Nobody's saying it's easy. But it will come to a point, you know, that you begin to love. You say, Pastor Dickie, that's not possible. We just part away. I don't hate him. Let him go his way. I go my way. I didn't say so. He said, even pray for them. What are you praying for them? Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of, that you may be what? He are his offsprings, offsprings of love. He is love. You are a product of love. Demonstrate that love. Demonstrate that love to God Almighty. Amen. Evidences. One more time. Let's go. We're rounding up. Hallelujah. God's love is what? Life-changing. It says what? The life I live before I no longer live. You should be able by yourself and by the testimony of people that this person is a believer. It's not because she's coming to church, attending all these prayer meetings and other things, by her lifestyle. Do you know you can preach without even speaking sometimes? By the places you go, the way you respond to people, the way you do things. God's love is life-changing. It's what? Life-changing. You cannot remain the same. Because that's what he's saying. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. You are not your own. Therefore, allow the owner to make use of what he has. Amen? You are not your own. Do you understand that? If these things are not yours, you cannot just come and take them. You have to what? Ask me. No, it's my life. It's your life? Really? Who gave you the breath of life? The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, the new creation has come. You are a new babe in Christ. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. And you should be able to even measure your spiritual growth. Believe you me, you can measure your spiritual growth. That's why the Bible says, grow in his grace and knowledge. In the grace and knowledge of God. Before I used to do this, now I don't do this. Before I hate my enemies, now God is helping me to love them. You cannot love them all one day, all right? Hallelujah. What is next? Living or experiencing God's love in trials. That's a tough one. That is the last one, I guess. Yeah. How can you still be experiencing living in God's love while going through trials? Not the trials of somebody, you know, those kind of things that, you know, tick you and you still love your enemy. We must go through many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So don't come and tell us it's my story, you don't know. No, many kinds. People have gone through it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's not uncommon what you're going through. And when we know that in all things, and we know, remember this, Romans 8:28. And we know that what? In all things, let's read together Romans 8:28. 1, 2, go. And we know that in all things, and in all things, and we know that in all things, give thanks. Because you know he's working out good for you. Be joyful always. Pray always. Paul understood it. He said, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Remember, God's way of sanctifying is never our ways or our thoughts or our imagination. Always share your burdens with others, because through that you can be strengthened. Yes, last one. Amen. Always bring to mind all the matters that you ever needed or will need is the air you breathe in order to live. And God is that air, and in so doing, you will be living in the love of God, as well be used to bring this understanding of God's love to other people. Let's bow our heads. Death. God is that air that you are breathing. And as we have demonstrated, at that peak where these two that came out demonstrated, at that peak they could no longer hold their breath, maximum maybe 2 minutes, the highest. At that peak, nothing matters. Not your enemies, not your wealth, not your money, not your future plans, nothing. All that you needed is take that breath. And the word of God reveals us, Jesus is that life. Jesus is that breath. Cannot do without that breath. You cannot do without God. So love that we are talking about, that I said, you cannot do without love in this life. We're talking about God. He is the very air that you breathe. You better thank him. Not just the literal, natural air that you breathe, but the eternal life that he has given you through Jesus Christ. Let nothing come between you, because nothing, all that you want to do, you can imagine somebody that is drowning, all that is looking for to hold on to something that gives him life. Hold on to Jesus now. That's your life eternal. People in war-torn countries where wars are happening, at the start of running away, they are packing things, holding things, but gradually they are dropping off. Drop everything and hold on to Jesus. It's all that you need in this life. It's not contradictory. We are not saying do not work, do not live. But the most fundamental thing is Jesus. Jesus number one, Jesus number two, Jesus number three.